My name is Brian, and I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Gathering. I work predominantly with students, high school and middle school, and the people that work with high school and middle school and children. And I'm mostly at the north site, so you probably don't see me as often as some of the other people, but I'm just really, really glad to be here this morning and share with you first part of a series that we're calling New Beginnings. And I don't know about you, but every January, I make commitments that I try to keep for the rest of the year. Some of them I'm able to do, others I'm not able to do as well. And I think, you know, having those times in our lives are really important to start thinking about where are the places in my life where I need personal breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough. Where are some places in my life that I need to go deeper with God? Where are the places in my life where maybe there's relationships that I need to work harder on or spend more time with? Where are the places in the assignments that maybe God is giving to each of us? Where are those? What do I need to do to align myself better with what he's wanting to do in my life? So I believe the Bible tells us that he has things for us to do, and he knew those things way before we were born. And because he's such a good father, he gives us the ability to make a choice and to have free will to either accept those things or to reject those things. And he's a super, super loving God. And as I was praying about today, the phrase that just kept coming back to me was remind you that I love them and that I'm good. I think it's easy sometimes to get sidetracked when we think about this life of having a good and loving father. There are a number of reasons why sometimes we maybe know that, but we don't necessarily believe that because we look at the world around us and we see that there are so many people who have free will, that are making choices that are bad, that their bad choices are affecting me. There's nothing I can do about that. And my bad choices are affecting them. But because he loves us so much, he wants to give the authorities given to us to walk those things out. And so today, as we think about new beginnings in 2019, I want to remind you that he's good. And the songs that we sang this morning talked about his goodness. But I want to give you some scripture today that is just really foundational truth about understanding that God is good. Several years ago, many years ago, back in 1986, I had the privilege of being a part of a prison ministry for a year. And in that year, we would go in and out of state and federal penitentiaries, and we would visit with prisoners. We'd present them with the gospel. A number of times I got to walk death row with some prisoners who had been there for a very long time. Some of them knew Jesus by the time that I got there. Some did not. But the biggest thing that I remember about that year over and over again, when I would say to them, we have a good Heavenly Father, the number one thing that I would hear back was, my dad was not a good dad. And some of us come from perspectives, or maybe we've had environments where maybe dad was not good, or dad was missing, or maybe dad worked too much. We knew that he loved us, but his actions didn't really show that. We have all kinds of baggage that we bring with us. And yet when it comes to our Heavenly Father, he gives us this insight through his word of what kind of a loving father he is. And because of that, I think part of today is overcoming some of those things before we come to God, is going and looking back on what are the areas in my life that maybe I need to bring some light to, that they're dark places. Maybe I need to confess those things, or maybe there's some things I need to get rid of. I had a really good dad. And as I was thinking about, I was really hoping my dad would get to be here today. We were shooting for today. My dad had two open heart surgeries within 6 hours of each other. He was really, really in bad shape, transfusions. And you guys rallied. I just put a little thing on Facebook and like thousands of people were praying for my dad. And I just want to thank you for entering into that with us and our family. It's a real gift to be able to have more years on the earth with my dad. But I remember one particular Christmas, we kind of tag team. There were three boys, we would tag team every Christmas, my parents. And the thing that we would try to convince them is we wanted to open our gifts way before Christmas. Because my mom was one of those persons who she'd get them in advance. It's not like my wife and I now, which we wrap them literally the night before. But she would have some time and she would put them under the tree and it would give us time to go there and shake them and really wonder and build this anticipation. But every year we tried and tried and tried to get them to say, you know, can we open just one present? One particular year, we had gone to my mom because she's an easier convince. And so we said, Mom, just one gift, one gift. She's like, well, I'll talk to your dad. My dad was a man of principle. He was like, you know, we don't open until Christmas. But anyway, we were sitting at the table and my brothers looked at me and they're like, you're going to bring it up? And I'm like, hey, Dad, I was thinking, you know, we're getting close to Christmas. What if we opened just one, each of us one gift? And he looked at my mom, obviously they had talked, and he's like, okay. And we're like, really? Oh my gosh, Christmas is coming early. This is awesome. So they said, if you help us with the dishes, you clean the table, sweep the floor, all those things, get us ready. We'll meet in the living room and you each can open on one gift. So it was really, really cool. We got in there. My dad said, how about instead of each of you opening up one gift, I have a gift for all of you boys. And I'm like, okay, that works. I don't care. So we're opening up this gift. And oh my goodness, it was amazing. It was a racetrack, electric cars, you know, the kind that loops type racetrack. Some of you who are my age probably remember. It basically took up the entire living room type thing. It was amazing. You could put it on a piece of plywood. It could stay there. You could move it around. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. And we were just like, this is the best Christmas ever. But as I'm thinking back on that Christmas, my dad is an amazing dad. But I'm thinking, I think we opened up that gift more for my dad than we did for us boys. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking my dad had a lot of fun with that racetrack too. But he's a good dad. As good as we try to be as dads, we are not nearly as good of dads as our Heavenly Father is. We still have agendas and motives and we deal with sin and sometimes we're grumpy and we're short-tempered and all those things. And there's today I just want to open it up for us to say, you know, we have a Heavenly Father to aspire to. We're all growing as dads and moms and we want to be like him. And I want to remind us today out of Matthew 7, if you turn in your Bibles, to just one of the passages about how good God is. Because in order to look at the future, we have to deal with the past, and especially in areas where we may need forgiveness. And sometimes as we approach him, we feel like, I'm not sure I can approach him with this particular thing. Matthew 7, starting with verse 7, it says, ask it, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? I love that picture. Well, duh, we wouldn't do that. If he asks for bread, we say, here's a rock. I mean, what a terrible dad. Or which of you, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Again, that's a crazy question. If then, though you are evil as fathers compared to who God is, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those of you who ask him? See, life is hard, and sometimes it's important as we think about the craziness of life when we are. Some of us are in this continuous battle. Before we were praying for the service, some of us feel like we're getting bullied by the enemy constantly. And sometimes it's like, is God really good? Because I'm going through a lot of crazy stuff. I'm going through some really tough things. Where is God in all of this? And the answer is he's not interested in controlling us. He wants to give us the authority to walk our life. Everyone. And so as us parents, we don't want to control our kids. We don't want to just walk around and make all the decisions for them. We want them to have the authority to make decisions and to, in turn, love us. And not to mention, there's this whole demonic, wicked and angel realm that's all around us that is also causing this disturbance in our life and causing us to have these crazy thoughts of condemnation and all these things that, try to keep us from moving in the direction of God. 1 Corinthians 13, which is a great chapter because it was in our wedding, but it's a familiar chapter talking about what love looks like. If God is good, he is also love. And here it describes what love is, and you probably know many of you by heart, but love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor, it's not self-seeking, it isn't easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong, it does not delight in evil, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And the thing I like about that particular chapter is everywhere that you see love, you can also put the word God. It gives us a picture of our Heavenly Father, that he is patient, he is kind. And in order to do this, we need to acknowledge and confess our sins to God. We need to repent in areas that we have messed up in, and then receive this unconditional forgiveness from him. But many of us are struggling because even though we know that he's a good God, even though that we know that, you know, is he really kind? If I come to him with maybe repeated sin or addictive sin, will he judge me? Will he sit there and condemn me? Does he really forget when I ask him to forgive us? The sin, he separates it, he moves it as far as the east is from the west. I mean, is he that kind of a God where he does keep record of wrong? Will he hold a grudge after, you know, I come to him and I say, I'll never do it again, and then I do it again? Is he like, oh, I knew he's going to do that, you know? Is it that kind of thing in our head? I've struggled with that at times in my life. I know he's good, but is he kind? And I would say, looking back, I have failed him so many times. How can I come close to a God who is perfect when I am not perfect? In the Old Testament, we had the law, and the law had to be done perfectly. There was a list of things we had to do. In fact, the Pharisees of the day when Jesus was around said, that's not enough. We're going to add about 600 more laws to that. So that's not enough. And so people were walking around trying to do it perfectly. If they didn't do it perfectly, there were ramifications for doing that. Some people literally died because they didn't do it in exact ways, because God said, I'm holy. And in me, there's nothing but holiness. I'm asking you to be holy. And then the Father loving us then said, he looked at us and he said, they can't do this perfectly. I'm going to send our son. That's where the good news, the gospel comes. Jesus does it perfectly, and it's the gospel now. So now we have a relationship with God that is a gift, and that's the gift that shapes our lives. It's not because we have to do the things we do. It's because we want to out of relationship. 1 John 1:9 is a promise to us, and many of you also know this. If we confess our sins, as God begins to convict us through his Holy Spirit, it says that our Father is faithful, and he's just, and he forgives our sins, and he purifies us from all unrighteousness. Literally, that word purify says, I pronounce you clean. You're clean. As soon as that comes out of our mouth, he says, you're clean. You're perfect when I look at you. That's an amazing thing. Matthew 11:28-30 is also a beautiful picture of the farmer, who is our Father, and us being yoked to Jesus. See, in the biblical times, what they would do is they would take one ox and they would yoke it with a younger ox. And so what would happen is the older ox would teach the younger ox how to do it. And so that yoke that went across both of them was kind of a guide. The yoke was light, and the older ox did all the work showing what the young one to do. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus. And so he says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." This was good news. They had not only all those old laws, but they had the 600 more that were added to it. "All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, it sounds like rest. I'm on a yoke and I'm working, but he's saying, take my yoke upon you. Jesus did all the work. Yoke me to Jesus. We have a great father who's the farmer. And then he says, and learn from me. That learn from me is literally like a system of commands, a system of works. I will show you what to do. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 8, 21, 22 says an interesting picture of Jesus and just how loving and good he is. If you remember the guys who loved their friend so much that he was sick and they couldn't get near Jesus. And so they took him through the streets and they got up close and they're like, there's no way you can get in. So they like got this guy up on a roof. Remember? They cut a hole. They lower the guy in to get healed. And even before the guy asks for healing, Jesus looks at that man and he says, "Your sins are forgiven." I mean, what a beautiful picture of Jesus and his yoke. It's like before you even ask, we sang that earlier, you're good. You know just what we need before we even say a word. You're a good father. So what is it that in this imagery that God is asking us to do? Well, in this yoke, there are certain times where we become blistered or we want to go in a direction where maybe Jesus is moving us in a slightly different direction and we kind of balk at the yoke. Or so we get blistered and we get frustrated. The farmer is super patient. Jesus is super patient, but we get frustrated in it. What do we do? Well, in those times, we've been given a formula in the Bible of talking about confessing our sin, confessing when we've messed up, confessing when we've moved in a direction that Jesus doesn't want us to move. So if we confess what we failed to do or confess the bad things we have thought or maybe planned, and then we repent of them. And repenting is changing our thinking about it. Like we don't want to do that anymore. It's literally turning around our plans, our goals, our dreams around serving and loving Jesus. And then believe. It's moving from the head to the heart that he is good and kind, and believe that he has taken your punishment. Believe that you are forgiven and literally you are free. We don't want our past failures preventing us from experiencing God's future blessings and callings on our lives. We all have assignments that God has given us to do. And when we understand that confession literally is like going into a wound and healing it from the inside out, confession draws out the toxins and the whole, the woundedness is healed. It's really, really cool because I didn't know this, but when my dad had open heart surgery, when they sew you back up, because it's very invasive, when they sew you back up, they sew like the inside, and then there's a layer, and then there's a layer, and then there's a layer, and then it's the outside. And the interesting thing about that is the indication that everything is healed on the inside is on the outside, is when those scabs are there, the scabs fall off, is the indicator that everything is fine on the inside. I didn't know that. And just a couple of weeks ago, my mom called, we were talking, she goes, "Hey, just want to let you know, scabs fell off." And I'm like, that's awesome. That means he's healed from the inside out. The same thing happens when we confess that woundedness and the scabs fall off or the scales fall off of our eyes. We're healed, we're free. There shouldn't be anything in our life that is unconfessed to God and at least one other person. That one other person knows what's going on in our life and keeps us accountable. Where we want to land today, I just invite you to go to Hebrews 12. It's a familiar chapter also. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked before us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, I thought about that, and I wanted to understand the word everything, because it says, throw off everything and the sin that so easily entangles us. And I started investigating what that everything really is. What is that word, everything? Well, it's everything. It's like you are on the edge of a slippery slope and you're standing on it, and you're not necessarily doing anything bad, but you're at the edge. And there is a possibility that you may fall down the slippery slope. Say that three times fast. There may be a possibility. That's the idea behind everything. Now, you may have not noticed it and you may have thought it, but I don't have elephantitis of the ankles. But this whole time, I have been carrying around extra weight. Whoa. Now, you talk about 10 pounds on each. I feel free. I feel free. Why? Because the weight is gone. The everything, the stuff that's not needed. It's not necessarily sin, but it's not necessarily good. It's the stuff that we should throw off. See, in order for us to have breakthrough, we have to throw off the stuff that isn't needed. And for all of us, it's different. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into that. What is it that you and I need to throw off in order for us to feel much lighter? Now, I could have continued throughout today to wear that, and it's a lot of work to wear that. I don't know why we do stuff like that. I know we do it to train. But I literally feel like I could run a marathon right now because the weight is gone. And that's the idea behind this, to persevere through. Throw off the weight, the everything. What's your everything? And then it says, and the sin that so entangles us. For me, as I was thinking about this, the hardest part about coming before you today for me is my pride. Because coming before you, there is sometimes this sense that I have to have everything figured out way ahead of everybody else because I'm a leader. And the reality of that is the enemy is trying to keep all of us, immobilizing all of us, so that we think that we are the only ones who have struggle or personal perseverance to walk through. Because until Jesus comes, we're going to be in a process of throwing off and getting rid of sin. Throwing off, getting rid of sin. Because we're going to be looking more and more like Jesus. That's what we desire. And so for some of us, pride just kind of hangs around the back of our necks. If we could picture pride hanging around my neck. The only thing that's going to get rid of pride hanging out around my neck is for me to go to my knees in humility and say, Lord, is there anything in my life, like the everything? What is the everything? And then, is there a sin that's entangling me right now that I don't know about? Or maybe I do know about it, and I think it's so big and so insurmountable that he couldn't possibly deliver me from it. I think we need to come to him today for those types of things, for breakthrough. Because my fear is today God wants and desires communion with us. He wants intimacy with us. He wants us to come close to him. He does say, you know, come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Throw off those things. Get rid of sin. I don't know how he's working in your life today, but my default is to exalt myself over God. I tend to want attention sometimes about what I'm doing, or is anybody watching, or calling it kind of the Instagram of spiritual life. If you look at an Instagram or a picture, everybody looks pretty good on Instagram. All those selfies, you know, a little bit of enhancement, all that stuff. We want to appear like we have it more together than we do sometimes. And as we're coming to God today, my fear is today that some of us might go home not healed because we didn't confess something today that God was asking us to do, because he's good, he's kind, and he's bringing it to our attention, and he's saying that infection, it needs to come out. Or that some of us might miss out on the greatest communion with God that we've ever had to date today, because maybe someone else is looking, or we feel like people are watching. My question today is really simple. There's three questions. Is, are you allowing any kind of infection to remain? Is there anything that he wants to take out of you today? Confession will heal that wound from the inside out. And are there things that you are carrying that you need to give to God today? Is there excessive weight that he is saying, you need just get rid of it. Just give it to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Or maybe you're saying, you don't understand. I have dealt with this addictive sin all my life. I'll never get rid of it. My question to you is, do you believe that he is enough today to come to and say, I need your forgiveness? You see, the enemy wants us weighed down, hopeless, condemned, broken, fallen apart, immobilized, and alienated from everyone else. And Jesus says, come to me. In James, it says that when we come to him, we submit ourselves to him. It says that he comes near to us. And so today, as you're thinking about that, let's just pause for prayer. And I'm just going to ask for just a moment of silence. And we're just going to ask God today, is there anything that you have for me today? Let's just individually say, Lord, what is it that you want today? How are you getting my attention? Father, we thank you today that you reveal out of love the things that you know are better for us, are the best for us. Father, I pray, Lord, today for courage and strength. I pray, Lord, for obedience that comes from desiring to, because we know that in this year, you do have plans for our relationships to go deeper. That's what you want. And you do have plans for our relationships with others to be full of blessing and fruit. And you do desire significant kingdom breakthrough in our lives. Today, would you just show us the next steps? What is it that you're doing in our lives, and how we can respond to you? Thank you for being a good father. Thank you for being a good dad. And thank you for sending your son that we can have the example to be with. And thank you for sending your spirit who lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen.